I want to dedicate the shiur today to one of my early talmidim from BMT, 1971, Rehov Abavanel, Tzvi Grunstein, Harry Grunstein, if you remember the name, and just showing what exposure to Torah Hashem Tamima can do. He comes here for a study at BMT, a relatively new school at the time, and it changed his entire life. And one story Yehoshua told me a number of times already. His father, they were davening in a Hasidic shtibel, and Harry Tzvi, as much as he respected Rav David Spiegel and enjoyed davening there in his smirat nigunim, but at times they would argue. And one of the times, a congregant told the Rebbe that he was making aliyah, and it could be he was in Cedarhurst to see his shtibble, could be going into the Israeli army. Rabbi Spiegel at Sudashlishit said, quote, "I don't understand, you make a career in the army, such a waste. When there is a war, you take a gun and fight." My father couldn't remain quiet and said, "Rebbe, a war breaks out tomorrow. You take off your spudik, put on a helmet, and fly an F-15? Rabbi Spiegel didn't respond. And that conversation so greatly appeals to me, because I've heard that so many times from stupid people. "Oh, there's a war, I'm going to grab a gun and join the army." Idiot, if there's a war, stay at home. You'll just be an extra burden, another mouth to feed. You think you just grab a gun and you're a soldier and you can fight?
I can't think of a better dedication to my father's memory than exactly what you heard just now from Rav Rakefet Shlita. That was exactly him, trying to combine between the ideals and the reality, trying to combine between great ideas that you have in your head and how to practically make them happen. And therefore, it was uncanny for him that you can go ahead and say, we support our soldiers and whatnot, and we're going to fight for the Jewish people, and yet at the same time, not even trained to do it. Now, going from the war that we're all in the midst of to a topic that hopefully will be with us after the war, I'd like to talk about a Shabbos, which seems to be a Shabbos that's like all other Shabboses. There is no special laws regarding this particular Shabbos called Shabbos Mevarchin. It happens once a month with the exception of Shabbos Mevarchin Tishrei. We don't do that. And ultimately, if you think about it, it's a regular Shabbos for all states and purposes. But it always fascinated me from the time that I was in yeshiva, and once a month on Shabbos Mevarchin, we got chopped liver in addition to the oily schnitzel and the chulent and the kugel. We got chopped liver for Shabbos Mevarchin. And I really wanted to understand, what did our sages throughout the generations have in mind when they said that Shabbos Mevarchin is a little different? And allow me to present it in a very concise way. If you look at the screen, you'll see that indeed Shabbos Mevarchin is for all states and purposes a regular Shabbos, albeit a little different. And that is that we have an addition and an omission. What's the addition? The addition is based on a Gemara on your right side of the screen, Brachos Dap Tet Zayin Omud Bet 16b, in which it says that various rabbis added things after their Amida, and Rav added exactly word for word, letter for letter, what we do when we bench Rosh Chodesh in an Ashkenazic shul. You could see the words here, Titen lanu chayim aruchim, chayim shel shalom, etc. Outside of the sentence, Shetechadesh aleinu et hachodesh hazeh letova veliv racha, all the rest is in the Gemara right here. And therefore, many have the practice that after they say it, they say Bizchut Tfilat Rav, in merit of this Tfilah of Rav. So we have an addition to our davening called Birkas HaChodesh, based on the Gemara and Brachos, taking the model of Rav, who would say this every day, we do it once a month in shul. If you look at the left side of the source sheet, right here on the screen, you'll see that not only do we add something, we actually take out something. So davening becomes nice and balanced. So we add, but we also take out. And what do we take out? The Ramah says, Nohagim lomar avarachamim. We have this custom to say avarachamim, a very acute prayer to what we're going through in Israel and what happened to the various kibbutzim on the Gaza border. And therefore, in Israel, we've been saying it even on Shabbos Mevarchin. But in a normal year, comes along the Ramah and says, V'yesh mekomot, k'shein omrim oto, k'shem mevarchin achodesh. There are places that don't say this particular prayer of avarachamim, remembering what happened to Jewish communities that were decimated, on Shabbos Mevarchin. It's the Mishnah Berurah. You also don't say Kel Malei Rachamim. Many have the custom of saying that the Shabbos before a Yahrzeit. You don't say it on that particular Shabbos at all, not on Shachris and not at Mincha. And this is very germane for me simply because my father died on Rosh Chodesh Adar, which means by definition, the Shabbos prior to his Yahrzeit is always going to be Shabbos Mevarchin. So I never make a Kel Malei Rachamim on the Shabbos prior to his Yahrzeit. I try to do it on the Monday or Thursday prior. So Thursday, this past week, is exactly the day in which I said a Kel Malei. Based on that, we see that when you come to shul on this Shabbos, you have an addition and you have an omission. And it seems harmless for all states and purposes, but as you're about to see, it's far from harmless. As a matter of fact, it's halachically compromising, as I'm about to show you. Number one, the addition is very problematic because we do not, under any circumstances, go ahead and petition God on Shabbos. The davening on Shabbos is indeed more lengthy than during the week, but we don't have petitions in that davening. The sages took out the 13 blessings of petition that we say every day in the 19 blessings of the Amidah, inserted in their place one blessing that has to do with the sanctity of Shabbos, and therefore we don't have petition in the Amidah and barely in any other place. There's a machloket if it's an exemption or forbidden. The Gemara in the Bavli, in Mesechet Brachot, in the blue, Daf Kof Aleph, Amud Aleph, says that indeed, if you make a mistake and you said the weekday Amidah, came along Rava Barabua and said you actually finished that bracha, because in essence, you should have said the full 19 blessings. But, and I'll quote from the Gemara, Rabbanan hu de lo itrachu mishum kvod Shabbat. Came along the sages and said, we didn't want to bother you on Shabbos. It doesn't mean davening would be smaller and less, but rather it means that on Shabbos, we didn't want to bother you to remember people that are sick in the bracha of Refa'enu. We didn't want to bother you to remember how much money you still need to cover your mortgage in the bracha of Barecha Leinu. We didn't want to bother you on Shabbos with all these needs and quests. And therefore, the rabbis took it out. But in essence, you should have said it. So if you make a mistake on Shabbos and you say, Ata chonein la adam da'at, you finish that bracha, and then you go back to the Shabbos davening. According to the Yerushalmi in the green, on the left side of the source sheet, the Gemara in Shabbos, Perek Tetvav, Halacha Gimel, says, Asur litvor atzrachav b'Shabbat. It's not an exemption, but rather it's forbidden. Suffice it to say, either it's forbidden or you're exempt. The bottom line is, we don't. Thus, the Meiri comes along and says, "Ve'lo nitana Shabbat litzvilah shel she'iralat zorech." Shabbos davening doesn't have quests, doesn't have petitions, doesn't have requests. Ela only litzvilah shel shevach v'hoda'ah. It's a davening of praise and thanksgiving. Ve'kiddush yom haShabbat, sanctifying the Shabbos day. Ve'zechirato. And remembering the Shabbos day. That is, according to the Meiri, the sum total of the Shabbos experience of davening. The Ravid, even more concise, says the whole davening is one big thanksgiving, thanking God for what you have and not thinking about what you lack. This will explain why, during this terrible war that we're in, we're allowed a petition, because the Shulchan Aruch in the third source right here says that you're not allowed to tzo'ek and matriya on Shabbos, but chutzme, here are the exemptions, Saratam is a note. If someone needs a lot of food, his refrigerator is empty. Something that's germane right now in Israel due to many businesses that have to close down because of the war. Ir shehi kivua anasin, literally a kibbutz that's surrounded by enemies. Any of those acute dangers on Shabbos, including someone dangerously ill, you are allowed to petition on Shabbos. But outside of that, no. Therefore comes the famous, I would say, funny line that many Jews say when they talk business on Shabbos, Nixt Shabbos gerecht. It comes from the Mishnah Berurah that he says, if someone is not dangerously ill, say he's in bed and he has a flu, you don't daven for him. But if you do, you have to say the words, Shabbat he mitlis ok. Shabbos is not a time to petition, but we still feel a need to do it. Okay. The bottom line is that at the end of the day, you are allowed to petition if something is acute, but you can't petition for something that is not. Namely, if on that particular day there's a danger, or according to the Eliyahu Rabbah, on that Shabbos, Friday night, you had a bad dream and you want to pray that the dream doesn't come true, known as Hatavat Chalom, that you are allowed to do. Why? Because it's like Pikuach Nefesh. You're totally distraught. You're totally not able to function because of this terrible dream that you have. So then, and only then, can you go ahead and petition on Shabbos. But in general, you do not. And this will explain why we say Havdalah in the first possible bracha on Motzei Shabbos. We're about to now go back to saying the 13 blessings of petition. So where is the most appropriate place to say Havdalah? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Omim Havdalah b'chodein hadat. The Mishnah Berurah explains in one of his explanations, b'pnei sha'asur litzvo hatzrachav kodem Havdalah, because it's absolutely forbidden to go ahead and to ask for requests before Havdalah. So once Shabbos is over and you made Havdalah, the verbal declaration in davening of the Havdalah, then and only then can you go ahead and say the rest of the brachos like Choneinu mi'itcha, Dei Bina v'haskel, give us wisdom and everything else we ask for. So here's the problem with our edition of Birkat HaChodesh. It's a petition. Yehi ratzon milfanecha, give us a long life, give us a good life. How do we petition on Shabbos? If indeed it's either forbidden or exempt from petitioning, but the bottom line is we don't do it. So how do we petition on Shabbos when it's benching Rosh Chodesh? Literally, the benching of Rosh Chodesh is not just saying it's a month coming, Rosh Chodesh Yihyeh, etc. It's literally a petition. How do we petition on Shabbos? That's question number one. Question number two is not on the addition, but on the omission. Namely, the omission was we don't say Avarachamim and any memorial prayers. But as you can see here on the list, we say memorial prayers. We say it at Yisker on all the three holidays of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. It started on Yom Kippur. It made its way to all the Yomim Tovim. The bottom line is those are days that were obligated in Simcha, in happiness. So how is it that then it's okay to say Yisker, but on a regular Shabbos where we're not obligated in the mitzvah of Simcha, we're obligated in Oneg, pleasure, but not Simcha, how is it that all of a sudden it's forbidden to say Yisker? It's forbidden to say Alvarachamim and Kelmalei Rachamim. It seems like what we say in Hebrew, Higayon B'Shigaon, namely, a logic that makes no sense. On a holiday, that's a real bona fide holiday, you could say Yisker. But on a Shabbos, which is far from being a holiday, you don't. On a holiday in which there can't be Avelut, a holiday in which if you're sitting Shiva, comes the holiday and nullifies your Shiva, because Shiva, mourning, and holiday cannot live together because of the mitzvah of happiness. Happiness and mourning can live together. On that day, it's okay to say Yisker and Kelmalei Rachamim. But when it comes to, by golly, a regular Shabbos, a Shabbos where if someone's sitting Shiva, it's part of his Shiva. He doesn't sit on a low stool. He doesn't have a ripped shirt. But on the other hand, he's still obligated in the private laws of Shiva, such as the prohibition of learning Torah. Then you can't say Kel Mole Rachamim. You can't say Avarachamim. So to sum up, we have two questions. The first question is about the addition. It's absolutely a petition. How do we petition God on Shabbos? And we induce it into our davening. Number two, regarding the omission, it makes no sense. On a bona fide holiday, you're allowed to go ahead and say these prayers, these memorial prayers, but on a regular Shabbos, you're not allowed to. I believe that the answer to these two questions about both the addition and the omission can be found in a very parallel instance that happens every single year. And that is the world-class controversy about Avinu Malkeinu. If shuls fight about Avarachamim, that we mentioned earlier, the bigger fight in the Jewish people was and continues to be about, do you say Avinu Malkeinu on Rosh Hashanah that comes out on Shabbos, on Shabbos Shuva, and of course on Yom Kippur that comes out on Shabbos as well. So this coming year, Yom Kippur will come out on Shabbos. And there are many shuls that fight about it more in the Sephardic world. As we're about to see, in general, in the Ashkenazic world, they didn't say Avinu Malkeinu if it came out on Shabbos. But in the Sephardic world, there was more of an openness to say it. If you look on the next slide, you'll see that the Rivash, who lived at the end of the Rishonim period, or towards the end, 1326 to 1408, Rav Yitzchak Bar Sheshet, known as the Rivash, asks that you say Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos during Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur or on Shabbos Shuvah that comes out every year. And he says, on the one hand in the green, you shouldn't say it because it's a petition. But on the other hand, maybe you should say it because if you're allowed to fast on a Rosh Hashanah, then all the more so you could say a petition. If it's okay to nullify the obligation to enjoy Shabbos, Onik Shabbos, in order to fast, say, for a bad dream, or fast on Rosh Hashanah, then all the more so that you can petition as well. In other words, come along, the Revushan says, maybe because this is not my personal need, but rather it's the need of all the Jewish people. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shabbos Shuvah is a time where God's going to sign and seal us, us meaning plural, the Jewish people at large in the world. It's not my need, but what we call in halacha, tzorchei rabim. And tzorchei rabim, a need for many, maybe you're allowed to say on Shabbos. After all, we say zochreinu l'chaim, remember us for life. That's a petition. And we still say it on Shabbos. Why? Because it's not remember me for life, but remember us for life. So those are the two sides of the question regarding Avinu Malkeinu. On the one hand, in the green, it's a petition. But on the other hand, in the orange, there's two arguments. Number one, if you're allowed to fast, then maybe all the more so you could petition. And number two, more importantly, since we do have other petitions that are tzorchei rabim oriented, namely, they are in the plural for the welfare of the Jewish people at large and not just for me, maybe Avinu Malkeinu is also something that you could say. So indeed, as I said, this was a world-class, I would say, world war. In the Ashkenazic communities that you could see very clearly in the green, there was an absolute, I would say, consensus that you don't say Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos. It starts out with the Ran right here on the top of the source sheet that says that in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Barzilai, Bar Noah, obviously the place he lived, you don't say on Shabbos Avinu Malkeinu, you don't say Tzidkat Chatzedek. And indeed, the Rivash says that was the custom in Barcelona, Sephardic community, and this is the custom in Ashkenaz, and he believes it's the right custom. Why? It's the Min HaKatova HaYashar, simply because She'ein Zeminusach HaTfila Atzma. It's not part of the regular davening that we say every day. Namely, if you have a part of davening that's said every day, you're allowed to say it on Shabbos too, even if it's petition-oriented. Outside of those 13 blessings in the Amidah, everything else is pretty much the same. You add things, but in general, if there's petitions in there, you can probably say them on Shabbos. They're not special. This is a special edition, and therefore, we don't say it on a Shabbos. Plugging it into our problem, if indeed Birkat HaChodesh is a petition, then it's not said every week, it's not said every day, and therefore, we shouldn't say it on Shabbos. The Ramah, who's the posek of the Ashkenazic community, basically paskins like the Rivash and the Ran in this regard, and says in all places, on Rosh Hashanah, he says, Nohagim lomar avinu malkeinu ve'imu Shabbat, ein omrim oto. He says this regarding Shabbat Shuva, and then he says it regarding Yom Kippur itself. So at Ma'ariv of Yom Kippur, Kol Nidri night, and at Shachris of Yom Kippur this coming year, in Ashkenazi communities, in your machzer, be it the Barenbaum, be it the Art Scroll, be it the Koren, be it any other machzer you hold in your hand, it will say, omit this on Shabbos. The Ran also brings another opinion in the orange, and that is, not to say it on Rosh Hashanah, which is a real holiday, you eat, but Yom Kippur, where you fast, like I said earlier, if you fast, you might as well also petition. That is what the Rivash says was the custom in Gironda. I don't know if that's Girona or a different place, that they wouldn't say it on Rosh Hashanah that came out on Shabbos, but they did say it on Yom Kippur that came out on Shabbos. And why? I'll quote from his words. It's the last day of our trial. This is, they were going to be sealed. And therefore, if you don't say it now, when are you going to say it? You can't make it up tomorrow. It's not like Shabbos Shuvah you have the next day. They made it like someone that on Shabbos, a terrorist is running after them. Then of course you could petition. Basically, it's the same here. Namely, you of course can petition simply because this is it. God is sealing you right now. You have no choice. In the purple, you have the third opinion, and that is the opinion of the Meiri in a famous book called Magen Avot. He tries to defend the customs of Provence, which was a community in between Ashkenaz in the north and Sfarad in the south. Provence, they said Avinu Malkeinu all the time. And he explains why. First of all, with due respect, we say Zochrinu L'chaim, Uchtov L'chaim Tovim, even on Shabbos. So why shouldn't we say Avinu Malkeinu? Second of all, obviously, there's many things that you're allowed to say on Shabbos if it's acute, as we said earlier. It's acute right now. The God is judging us. So we should say it. And indeed, the Shulchan Aruch, very simply in Hilchos Yom Kippur, says you should say it. And he doesn't bring any dispensation regarding Shabbos. So suffice it to say, we have a world war regarding Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos. It's a petition. Either you never say it on Shabbos, you only say it if Yom Kippur fell out on Shabbos like this coming year, or you always say it. That's the story with regard to Avinu Malkeinu. So plugging it in to our interesting Birkat HaChodesh, the benching of Rosh Chodesh, if you never say Avinu Malkeinu, why do we say Birkat HaChodesh? If it's okay to say Tzorchei Rabim, namely to go ahead and petition for all the Jewish people, and therefore we say Tfilat Geshem, even if it falls out on Shabbos. Because we're asking for rain, not for me, but for all the Jewish people. If that's okay, then maybe we should say Birkat HaChodesh and not worry. Therefore many say at the end, Bizchut Tfilat Rabim, not Tfilat Rav, but Tfilat Rabim, in merit of this plural, communal prayer, we're allowed to go ahead and petition. So either you can or you can. But the green only on Yom Kippur indeed brings up one little tiny fact that I didn't say regarding Avinu Malkeinu. So if indeed it was consistent, you wouldn't say Avinu Malkeinu on this coming Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos. We're Ashkenazim, we don't say it. If you do say it, you do say it. But you say it on every Shabbos. It makes no difference. Shabbos Shuva and Yom Kippur. Here comes the catch. There is one little tiny hole in the never saying Avinu Malkeinu. And that is Ne'ilah. At Ne'ilah, even if it comes out on Shabbos, we do say Avinu Malkeinu. The Ramah says, Omrim Avinu Malkeinu at Ne'ilah, and the Mishnah Berurah points out, the Imchal B'Shabbat, Afilu Imu Adayin Yom. Ne'ilah, you do say it. So what happens? At Ne'ilah, we took an about face and we said, the other points of view are correct. Doesn't make sense. You know, we were consistent. Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, you don't say it. Shabbos Shuvah, you don't say it. Myriv, Shachris, we didn't say it. All of a sudden, Ne'ilah, it's okay? So my whole life I thought, because by the time you get to Avinu Malkeinu at Ne'ilah, it's after Shkia, it's after sunset. And therefore, maybe this particular no petitioning was lifted. I haven't found any of the poskim that say that, simply because that's not necessarily the custom in all communities. The Sephardic communities, by example, Davina Ni'ilah, and then they say the Slichah. So they don't have that mad rush at the end to get to Birkat Kohanim like in Israel before Shkia. So therefore, they're not rushing. Some people start Ni'ilah by Plaga Mincha, not Sha'achama Berosh Ha'ilanot, when the sun is at the level of the trees, and therefore they have more time for Ni'ilah. The bottom line is, I haven't found anyone that said that because we get to it after sunset, you're allowed to say it. Quite the contrary. I found three points of view that say, in essence, you're allowed to say it the entire Yom Kippur. But Ne'ilah is the place that we allowed it. Let's go to the purple. Shu'at Torah Lishma. This is from the Ben Yishchai, a Sephardic posek of Iraq, a very important posek of the Sephardim. That says the im yesh lo tzar v'daga b'libo. If a person's very worried on any Shabbos and he can't really function, then you're allowed to quest and petition. Well, at Ni'ilah, we're the most worried. We're worried all Yom Kippur, but at Ni'ilah, this is the time God's sealing us. The worry goes up to the second power, and therefore at Ni'ilah, we allowed Avinu Malkeinu. The Chafetz Chaim in the Mishnah Berurah, the middle green point of view, comes along and says, very simply, it's acute. Now is the time. God's going to seal us. We don't have a second chance. We can't make it up. Now we could say Avinu Malkeinu. Both of these points of view, in my opinion, have assumed as an assumption that in essence, you're allowed to say Avinu Malkeinu throughout Yom Kippur. Throughout Yom Kippur, you have Tsar v'da'aga b'libo in the words of the Ben Ish Chai. Yom Kippur, in general, is Gmar Din. But somehow it comes to the, I would say, pressure point at Ni'ilah. Comes along the Aruch HaShulchan and says this word for word. He says that in general, we don't say Avinu Malkeinu, aval sha'rei ha'piyutim v'aviduyim omrim. We say slichos, we have petitions on Yom Kippur, right and left and center. Rabbi Zeitz, who was on this Zoom, is a rabbi that I am privileged to share the Bima with in Beth Tikva Synagogue in Montreal on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. In his shul, he has instituted the minhag that on Yom Kippur, that falls out on Shabbos, you say the Yud Gimel Midot when you take out the Torah. Many machzor say some do, some don't. But on all the Yomim Tovim, if it comes out on Shabbos, everyone omits it. Why do you say it maybe on Yom Kippur? For these reasons, that in essence, Yom Kippur, even if it falls out on Shabbos, is a day where petition is allowed. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, in general, we petition, right, left, center, so many petitions, night of Yom Kippur, day of Yom Kippur. But, Kivanshu Yom Slicha V'Chapara, because it's a day of atonement, and a day of going ahead and going through a process of slicha, of cleaning you from your averos, you're allowed to do all these things. It's a special Shabbos. Ve'rak leheker shehayom Shabbat. And only because we want to remind people that Shabbos, we don't say it. In other words, you should have said it. It's a day where you have petitions. Why don't we? Just to remind people that it's Shabbos. I mean, imagine the scene. You go to shul, and you're wearing your white, and you're putting on your tallis, not just during the day, but at night. And it's a very long davening, and you don't say the regular Lecha Dodi. And, you know, in general, there's no real resemblance of Shabbos there. You know, in the parentheses, in the Amida, you add in Yom HaShabbat HaZeh. But in general, people come to shul because it's Yom Kippur. Let's just say, in the shuls that are more filled for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they're not filled on that Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos because it's Shabbos. So to remind people it's also Shabbos, we took out Avinu Malkeinu. It's like the one out of 25 petitions we took out. But all the rest are in there. So what changes at Ni'ilah? I think all these points of view point to the same direction. Ni'ilah is a time where our sages said, on the one hand, it's Shabbos. Petition shouldn't be here. On the other hand, it's also the Gmar Din. It's the time where people are at their height of worry about the next year. They have a need to daven. They have a need to ask God to give them a good year. On the third hand, they should be happy, looking forward to the fact that who's going to seal them? A God that can't be bought off. A God that's a just God. This intertwining of Shabbos, happiness, and worry is exactly what happens at Ne'ilah every single year when it falls out on Shabbos. And therefore, our sages came along and said, we have to do something that on the one hand will allow us to express the worry, but on the other hand, express the happiness, and on the third hand, express that at Shabbos. How do we do it? They said, let's fashion it in the following way. We'll allow Avinu Malkeinu only at Ne'ilah. I believe, based on this model, it's exactly what happens on Shabbos Mevarchin. On the one hand, it's a regular Shabbos. There shouldn't be petition. On the other hand, the new month is coming up. Many people don't even notice that because it's due respect. It's a new month on the Jewish calendar. If I get paid the first of the month, the fact that it's Aleph Adar doesn't really make a difference. But it's a new month. We can't just go by. And if we're looking forward to a new month, we're looking forward like at Ne'ilah with happiness, but also with worry. Happiness, new opportunities. Worry, what will be? And therefore, our sages said we're going to invoke the heter, the exemption of Tzorchei Rabim, and we're going to allow petition on Shabbos. But we can't stop there. Because if that's all you're going to do, what's going to happen to the enjoyment of Shabbos, owning Shabbos? So they had to balance it out. And what did they balance it out with? No kelmale, no avarachamim. That, in my opinion, is the story of Shabbos Mevarchin. It's indeed a day in which the sages had to break their brains and say, how do we express this Ne'ilah moment that we have once a month? We have to look forward to the month with joy, and there's a joy of Shabbos already in existence. And on the other hand, we have to look with worry what will be. And we can't just sit back and relax. So they allowed a petition based on Tzorchei Rabim, but on the other hand, they balanced it out with not saying Avarachamim and Kelmale. Very much like Ne'ilah. We'll allow Avinu Malkeinu at Ne'ilah. It's the time where the crunch of Gmar Din comes. We have to balance it out. How do we balance it out? We don't say Tzidkatcha. You know, if everything was allowed, you would have said Tzidkatcha. Why don't we say Tzidkatcha? Simply because it's Shabbos, but it's a Yontif. It's called Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur also breaks up Avelus Lahalacha. And therefore, to balance it out, Avinu Malkeinu, yes. Tzidkatcha, no. That's a Ne'ilah moment. Throughout Yom Kippur, a little less than that, we allow all the petitions, but not Avinu Malkeinu. Why? To remember it, Shabbos. We can't just look at days in our calendar and say, what will be, I'll sit back and relax. We have to actively fashion them, like the sages did for Ne'ilah, like they did for Shabbos Mevarchin. And if there's any lesson we can take out of Shabbos Mevarchin, it's the following. Don't think for a moment that you could sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Life requires you to fashion what will be with the help of God. And you have to balance out, from time to time, conflicting emotions. Being happy, being worried. All of us in Israel this year have been going through that daily, especially parents like myself, to children serving in Gaza. On the one hand, terrible worry for their welfare. Sleepless nights galore. But on the other hand, also a sense of pride that, thank God, after thousands of years, we now have the ability to defend ourselves and to fight back. It's not just a quest for Jewish survival, based on prayer, based on if the local Purits will go ahead and be nice to us. But we took our fate into our own hands. These are conflicting emotions. And you can't just sit back and relax. You have to do something to express it. And I believe that my father, Zichrono Levracha, was indeed someone that did not allow life just to pass him by, but actively fashioned the way that it would be. And allow me to give a few examples to illustrate that in the next slide. This is a store that was near our house way back when. This store happened to be a place that we frequented almost every single Sunday. My father went there and looked at the newest gadgets, the newest tools, and bought them from time to time. It's not like he was rich, he could buy anything he wanted. But on the other hand, he said, I can't let life just pass me by. If indeed there's new gadgets and gizmos and it can make our life easier, then so be it. Let's buy it. This is the first computer we had, a Commodore 64. I don't know what computers you have today. This was a 64K byte computer. Didn't do much. But at the time, in the mid-80s, it made life a little better, a little more interesting. When the Cincinnati Gemara came out, my father went and bought it, bought a whole set, and started to learn it. It wasn't just wallpaper on the shelf. Because if you can learn Gemara now with the English translation, then why not? And later on, when Schottenstein came out, he bought each Masechta one by one that he learned. When rechargeable batteries came out, he was the one to buy a recharger and said, why buy batteries that you have to throw out? And I think the height of his success was building his own TV, the TV on the bottom left of the screen. A TV that was bigger than most TVs, had a remote control, which most of the TVs in the house did not have. Little tiny things, you could say. But all to say, don't let life pass you by. Think about fashioning it and using the opportunity. Just like our sages did when the Ne'ilah comes out on Shabbos and when there's a Shabbos Mevarchin prior to Rosh Chodesh. They need to fashion and use the opportunity and express the two emotions that are there. And therefore, I believe that if he was alive today, he would have bought an electric car like this picture down here. He would have put in his own electricity to recharge it. I have no doubt that that would have been the next move he made. And therefore, when we ultimately put out a book in his honor during the year of Avelos, for my son's bar mitzvah, we thought the most appropriate and suitable thing to do was to put out a book of Zmiros with explanations from family members about Zmiros that we sing. My father always sang Zmiros at the table, and I believe that's a very good example of using and fashioning an opportunity. It's not just a meal. And it's not just a meal that you start with Kiddush, and you have a Hamotzi, and there's like requisite things you must do. You have to use that opportunity to talk, to share experiences, and yes, to sing together, to express that it's an enjoying day of Shabbos. Therefore, Rashi, in one of his first interpretations to Masechet Beitza, says, what's Hachana Derava? What is the famous preparation for Shabbos? Says Rashi, there's a big difference between preparing dinner on a Monday night and preparing for a Shabbos meal. Says Rashi in the green, Hazmana b'peke amar. When you prepare for Shabbos, you have to say this is for Shabbos. But, says Rashi, su'udat chol, lo chashiva. A weekday meal, you eat because you're hungry. You eat because you eat. But you don't have to go ahead and prepare it and say the words, it's for Wednesday night. In other words, it's a Shabbos. Let's use and fashion that opportunity. And one of the most vivid expressions of that is Miros at the table. Thus says the Shulchan Aruch, we have various mukses in our life. One of them is a rock. But if you want to use a rock to be a cover for a barrel, says the Shulchan Aruch, you can't use a rock. It's mukse. It's useless. But In Yechidah Lechach, if on Erev Shabbos you say, this rock I'm going to use to cover the barrel on Shabbos, then it's okay. Namely, you can take the most muktzah item and say, this is going to be used for Shabbos, and from now on, it's not muktzah. If you did that, mi ba'od yom, you did that before Shabbos, that's actively preparing for Shabbos. Not just, I'm not going to do anything wrong. Actively preparing for Shabbos in order to say, how would I like to fashion and use the opportunity of Shabbos? If there's anything you can remember from this year, it's this. Shabbos Mevarchin is a Zmiros moment. It's a Ne'ila moment. It's an opportunity to fashion and use the opportunity of combining the happiness towards the new month together with the worry about the new month. We have to actively fashion it. And the way we did it, we inserted an addition, praying that the month be a successful and good one. And on the other hand, we took out Avarachamim in any Yisker-oriented prayer to express the happiness, to express the worry addition, to express the happiness in omission. That was my father. Someone that actively fashioned life and didn't sit back and let it run him by. As long as he was healthy, he made sure to use every opportunity possible in order to make life a more substantial one, to make life a more significant one. I hope and pray that first and foremost, this war be over. But second to that, we'll all learn from Shabbos Mevarchin the need not to let life just run you by. The need to actively fashion and use the opportunity. Like Avinu Malkeinu at Ne'ila of Shabbos. Like a Shabbos Mevarchin petition. Like an omission of Avarachamim. And allow me to end with a small tiny video with a Zmira my father really beautifully enjoyed. One that Rabbi Spiegel actually taught in the name of his father-in-law, the Pittsburgher Rebbe. If there's anything you could remember from this year, it would be, make sure to have the Zmiros at the Shabbos table. Don't just eat the meal. Let's see the video. You